This happened a short while ago. It still freaks me out just thinking about it to this day. For some context, it was a crisp fall evening. The kind where the air bites at your skin and the sky fades from blue to deep purple as the sun sinks lower. I was just finishing my late night shift at a small diner on the outskirts of town. The streets were mostly empty, save for a few cars that zoomed by, eager to get home. It was the kind of quiet night where everything felt too still. I was walking to my car, keys in hand, when I saw something out of the corner of my eye. A man standing at the far end of the parking lot near the edge of the woods. He was leaning against a rusted fence, his hands shoved deep into the pockets of his jacket. At first, I didn't think much of it. After all, this part of town was isolated, and sometimes people would loiter around, maybe waiting for a ride or just killing time. I turned back around as I was going to unlock my car. I turned around once more to see if that man was still there, and indeed he was. He then looked at me. Now, it wasn't a casual glance. It was more like he was waiting for me to notice him. I didn't like the way his eyes were locked onto me, cold and unnerving, as if he were studying my every move. I quickly turned away, trying to ignore the rising feeling in my chest. Something about him just felt wrong. I unlocked my car in a panic, sliding into the driver's seat. The streetlights above flickered as I started the engine, and I was just about to pull out of the lot when I then glanced over to see him once again. He was now standing right next to my car, inches away from the passenger side, staring through the window. My heart stopped. I didn't know how he got there. I hadn't seen him move. The parking lot was deserted and I'd been completely alone when I first got in, but there he was. His face got close to the window, his eyes never once leaving my gaze. I could barely make out the expression on his face, faintly smiling, but it wasn't a friendly smile. It was more like something you'd see from a predator. He then mouthed something that I could distinctly make out. "Can you help me? I just need your phone to call for a ride." He then tried to wiggle the door handle to the passenger side door to try to open it, but thankfully I had locked my car. I didn't think, I just reacted. I slammed the car into reverse, my tires screeching as I backed out of the space too fast, heart pounding in my throat. Through my rearview mirror, I could see him just standing there, still watching me. He didn't move, didn't flinch, just stood there like a shadow. I didn't stop driving until I was safely at home, every instinct telling me not to go back that way. I stayed inside for the rest of the night, bolting the door and keeping the lights on. It wasn't until the next morning when I'd heard a news report on the radio that I'd realized how close I'd come to something truly terrifying. The police had found a man near the diner, a man with a history of stalking and assault. He had been seen around the area before, but no one had taken him seriously. They caught him just a few miles from the diner, lurking in a parking lot. They never did say if it was him, but I never forgot his eyes, watching me from the shadows. And I never went back to that diner after dark. Remember, ladies, always be aware of your surroundings. I will start off by saying that all the names in this story are going to be changed for privacy reasons. This is something that has recently happened. For starters, I'm a 20-year-old female, and at the time of this, I was around 17, almost 18 years old. I used to have a fling with this guy we'll call Alex. Alex had a really big crush on me, but he would only text me after midnight as if I was some sort of booty call for him or something. We had been seeing each other for a few months, but it was nothing serious. One day he and I were talking, and he asked me, "Do you want to be my bitch?" I thought he was joking around and meant that he wanted to be friends with benefits or something, and I was confused because we already were. And to me, asking someone to be your bitch is not a way to ask to be in a relationship, so I thought nothing of it. Fast forward a few weeks and I had just gotten into an actual relationship with someone else. Alex had been messaging me on Instagram, and finally I decided to see what he had to say. The messages went as follows. "Hey, why did you unadd me on Snapchat?" "Well, I'm in a committed relationship now." "What? You were supposed to be my girl, and we were supposed to be together." "When was it decided that I was your girl?" And when was it decided that we were together? Asking someone if they want to be your bitch is not how you start a relationship. Nothing about you and me felt like a relationship to me at all. The only time you messaged me was if you wanted to have sex or if you were bored after midnight. When I would come over to hang out, we would just have sex and then you'd go and get right on your game with your boys. And then I'm just sitting there on your bed doing my own thing. Well, you're still my girl regardless of who you're with. We will always find a way to be with each other. Hit me up when you're no longer in a relationship. After that message, I stopped talking to him. Fast forward 2 years and I'm still in my relationship and we're happily engaged. Well, I thought we were. My fiance and I came to a mutual agreement that it probably wasn't going to work out. Well, we both agreed to change our relationship status on Facebook fairly quickly, like within the same day. That same day, I changed my status from engaged to single, and I got a friend request on Facebook and on Snapchat from none other than Alex. I was talking to my sisters about it, and they said I should just see what he has to say. I added him back and we started chatting. It was all normal talk, such as how have you been, what's new in your life, that kind of stuff. Well, I guess he got really comfortable around me quickly. He was telling me how much he missed me, and it all seemed innocent at first. That was until he then said, "Not gonna lie, I've been stalking your social media accounts for the past 2 years while you were with your ex. You know that I'm obsessed with you. It's bad." At this point, I start getting a little scared because then he goes on to say, "You know just as well as I do that we're meant to be together. I should have gotten you pregnant when I had the chance so that you couldn't leave, or it would have been harder for you to leave me." Now I'm getting more and more uncomfortable, especially since he still knows where I live. A few days passed and he sends me a picture of him driving in his car, and he says, "I'm coming over to see you." So I said, "No, don't come over. I don't want you to come over right now." And he asked me why I didn't want him to, so I had to make something up so as to not upset him. I then told him, "I don't want you to come over right now because the house is such a mess and I wouldn't want anyone over while it's so messy." Luckily, he said he wasn't going to come today. That same night, I passed out of my room with the lights on, and typically I'm a hard sleeper. Well, I woke up to the feeling of someone grabbing my boobs. I didn't know what to do and just froze. Luckily, my sister came walking down the hallway to the bathroom and it scared him off. He went out the door in my bedroom that leads to the outside. And I know some of you are going to be saying, "Well, why don't you just block him?" Well, I thought about it, but the fact that he knows where I live and we have a lot of sliding glass doors and one of them doesn't lock, I don't want to run the risk of blocking him and him coming over and breaking into the house to do God knows what to me and my family. I eventually did decide to just block him and move on with my life, and I did finally get some peace. I started a new relationship. I thought that everything was done and over with since I hadn't heard from him in a while. He's now started making new accounts and fake accounts on everything to try and get into contact with me. I keep blocking every single account that he makes. It seems like there's a new account of him trying to add me every single day. It used to be on Facebook and Snapchat that he just didn't have a profile picture or Bitmoji, but now he started using pictures of other people and friending some of my friends so that they're mutual friends, and I guess I'll feel more inclined to accept the friend request or something. I've been seriously thinking about getting a no contact order to try and get him to leave me alone. I know this doesn't sound as scary compared to some of the other stories out there, but to me, it's absolutely terrifying. So, I live in a small town in western North Carolina, and I have my whole life. I worked at one of the two Bojangles in town. If you don't know what Bojangles is, imagine KFC or Popeyes, but the food sucks and there's less options. We serve mainly fried chicken, biscuits, and sides like mashed potatoes and green beans. It's really nothing special. I had worked there for almost 2 years despite the horrible pay because I work with some amazing people and I love going to work every day. All of this started about 2 weeks ago. We have a few regular customers who come in every day or on the same day once a week. They usually order the same thing every time and really only come in for the conversation. While we have amazing interactions with our regulars and some of our random customers, creepy encounters are not rare by any means. We have some pretty creepy people come in. usually people who are on drugs or who have mental problems. We usually just tell them if they continue being creepy, we will call the police, and they either stop or leave. However, the day that the man in the purple jacket, as we called him, came into the store, it was a very uncommon experience. He had never come in and ordered anything when I was working, but he did come in and order food from one of the other cashiers on the days I was off. Later on, it came to light that he'd come in numerous times, sometimes every day for weeks at a time, and asked when I would be working again, and had even called multiple times to ask if I was there, and got quite angry when he was told I wasn't there. That day, we had seen him walk by the store, stand outside for a couple of days smoking what we thought was cigarettes. It turned out he was smoking joints outside the store, so my manager went outside and told him to stop. He told her that he smokes because he has severe PTSD and depression, and it keeps him calm, and she sighed and told him to at least walk behind our dumpsters and smoke there, but to clean up after himself, and then he came back in grumbling and complaining. A few minutes later, he pulled out his phone and pointed it out the window like he was taking pictures. I finished with the customer I was helping and went in the back to tell my manager that I was pretty sure he was either taking pictures or recording a video. By the time we got back up front, he was gone. A couple of hours later, I was in the back around 9:30 washing dishes while my manager was doing her closing stuff so we could get out of there early. My boyfriend was sitting outside in his truck waiting for me to come out when we closed at 10. I heard the front door open and close, and knowing I was the only one who could use the register, I walked up front. I plastered a bright smile on my tired face and walked to the register. The man in the purple jacket was standing there wide-eyed, tucking half of an actual cigarette behind his ear. Now that I saw him up close, he wasn't bad-looking. He wore black-ribbed skinny jeans with chains hanging from the belt loops, and a pair of red Converses. Under his fluffy purple windbreaker, he wore a dark gray and white polo shirt with a small chain hanging around his neck with a cross dangling from it. Ironic, I know. He had a gray toboggan on and had one ear pod in his ear, which had a diamond earring in it. He had bright green eyes and eyelashes that could probably blow you away if he blinked fast enough. I just stared at him in shock for just a moment before returning the smile to my face. I hadn't expected him to look like that up close from the way he looked out the window, and also how my creepy boss said he was. I shook the thought out of my head and said, "Hey there, welcome to Bojangles. What can I get ya?" I spouted out my normal line for when new customers came in, and waited for him to tell me what he wanted. Instead, he just stood there staring at me wide-eyed with a wide smile on his face. He stepped closer to the counter and slid his hand into his pocket, which made my heart jump into my throat. Was I about to get robbed? I stepped back just a bit, my heart pounding, and I watched his hand carefully. He finally spoke, and his voice shocked me with how deep and gravely it was. It sounded like he had been gargling broken glass when he looked into my eyes and muttered, "You're even more beautiful up close. I've been so far away for so long, but now I'm finally face to face with you." And then he laughed and pulled out a small envelope out of his pocket and then placed it on the counter. Then, with one final glance down at my body and a small giggle, he left. My knees almost instantly got weak, and I collapsed on the floor in a mess of tears at the same time. My boss came up front and asked me what happened. I was such a mess that I couldn't even talk, so I just pointed at the envelope on the counter. My manager grabbed the envelope and opened it up, dumping the contents on the counter in front of us. When I saw what was dumped on the counter, my breath caught and I felt like I was going to pass out. On the counter in front of me was a small ring with a sapphire heart in the center and two small diamonds on either side, a butterfly necklace, a pair of gray underwear, and a black headband. There was also sweet watermelon chapstick and light pink bubblegum scented lip gloss. You probably think these are just random objects, until I tell you that these things have gone missing out of mine and my boyfriend's apartment over the past 2 weeks, and along with the stolen items, there was also a letter. It was short and absolutely terrifying. "Your pillow smells like the ocean. Your blankets smell like coconut. Did you know you talk in your sleep?" After that, my boss went out and got my boyfriend, and he helped me to the trunk, and we went to stay at my mom's for the night. The next morning, my boyfriend went and got our clothes, shoes, and essentials, and we stayed with a friend until we could find a new apartment. I quit my job immediately, and went and worked with my mom in the next town over. Everything seemed to be okay until we went to get our furniture to move into our new place. Our dishes were smashed on the floor, our couch cushions were cut open, and the stuffing was thrown everywhere. There was writing on the wall, the same words over and over again. "I miss your skin." We left all of our stuff there except for the air mattress that we had in the back of our closet and turned in the keys. Since then, we've gotten 3 dogs to keep us safe. Every time our dogs bark, I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack thinking he's coming back. All of our windows have blinds that are never opened, and our bed sits completely on the ground. I never go anywhere alone, and I haven't been back to my old work since that night. He was actually arrested 2 days ago for trying to break into Bojangles at 4 a.m. when no one was around. He admitted to breaking into our home and stealing my things. They found 3 more pairs of my underwear, 1 of my bras, 1 of my dresses, my old iPhone full of photos of me, pictures of me in the shower and doing dishes and sleeping next to my boyfriend at night. Yeah, what a total psycho. So I was in between moving homes and I was offered to visit a step family member in another country. I had my reservations at first, but I also didn't want to take advantage of the hospitality of the person I was temporarily staying with, so I, with caution, decided to go and pay a visit to this person and their fiancé. It was a long-haul flight, and I knew it wouldn't be so easy to get back home and would also be expensive, but as I was in between addresses, I felt I had no other option. It was nice to be away and so warm there. If anything, I wanted to reset and get my head straight after a traumatic breakup. Within the first week, my step-family member, let's refer to him as Mike, started to tell me how he really felt trapped in his relationship, and he felt that he couldn't enjoy going out socializing because his partner never wanted to go out with them. He went on to say that he felt financially under pressure as he pays for everything, and it just became an expectation. But as I was visiting, he would get away with coming out. We went out and had a great time. I met the locals, no problem there. The next morning when I got up, Mike was sat on his sofa looking so forlorn and said that his partner had left him in a sulk and taken his car because we had gone out drinking together and that he was sick of his fiancée and her sulks. He also said that I was very drunk the night before and he had seen me walk into the bathroom with no clothes on. Now, I never sleep naked and I was also fully dressed when I got up, so I just dismissed this statement as a joke. Cut to the time away. My gut was picking up on a few things. I felt like I was being isolated. I was told I couldn't go to the beach alone unless I was picked up and dropped off, as they don't have taxis there. I later found out this was total bullcrap. I had also been told prior to getting there that the beach was a 10-minute walk away. It's an hour's walk on remote roads. I was never told there was a shop next door to the place we were staying, so I was also having to walk to the shop unless I asked for a lift. I also noticed far too often that each time I was conversing with Mike, his eyes would constantly be focused on my bust area, and I had made a point of always dressing modest. But even this didn't stop him. On top of this, again, I was hearing constant complaints about his relationship, making me feel a bit uneasy around his fiancée. One morning, I was making a coffee, and I heard Mike trying to get my attention, asking me to make him a coffee too. This was after him saying previously that he hates coffee. I turned around to see him in a bath towel. He had gotten out of the shower. I looked at him for that microsecond, and I just knew what he was going to do. I froze in horror, and yes, he let the towel drop to one side whilst he stood there for a second stark naked. I quickly turned away. My body began to shake with rage and disgust. I then raised my voice and said, "What on earth do you think you're doing?" He denied all knowledge of it, and said that he hadn't noticed his towel had come away. I really hated him by this point. You see, his biological father was an evil, abusive man, and unfortunately, I was raised in a house with his dad. He had moved out before my mom and this man met. So as you can imagine, this situation had a lot of deep triggers to it. That's another story. I honestly thought the apple fell far from the tree. Anyway, the covert narcissism increased. One evening, Mike decided to show me the shop next door, and we met someone. a lovely lady that lived on this road who kindly offered to take me into the town for a night and show me the nightlife. I agreed and got ready, and we left for the town. I was also told to expect to be getting home around 5 a.m. because it would be wild. I got into the town with this lovely lady, but I felt a bit out of my depth and actually left to go back to the house within half an hour, and something in my gut was telling me not to drink. I got back to a quiet apartment around 9:30 p.m., so I went straight to bed as to not disturb Mike and his fiance. For some reason, my air conditioning remote had gone, and the fan stopped working. The heat was pretty unbearable, but I just went to bed anyway. Around 12:30 a.m., I got up to go to the bathroom, and as I turned the light on, I saw my bra and a pair of pants placed on the front room floor. These had been taken out of my suitcase. My blood ran cold, and I quickly picked them up and went back to my room, thinking how inappropriate that would look to Mike's fiance. I fell back asleep to be awoken by tapping on my bedroom door, and it was Mike whispering, "Hey, are you back?" I shouted yes, and he then opened the door and laid on the bed in his boxers and said, "Oh, she's gone now. I've thrown her out. We can be on our own now." I quickly sat up and sprung out of bed and walked into the front room. He then quickly followed, asking what time did I come in. I stated the time and was then questioned as to why I didn't tell him I was coming back so early. I told him that I had sent a message and had no reply, and that I didn't want to wake anyone. To which he then said, "Oh, so you've not been drinking?" To which I said no, I didn't feel up to it. He made a huffing noise and looked clearly annoyed. So he then said, "Well, come on, have a drink with me now." So I had a drink, and within around 2 hours, his fiance returned in a sulk and sat outside on the doorstep. I went out to check if she was okay, but I was given the cold shoulder 3 times. This infuriated me, but I left it alone. The next day, as I still felt under the influence from shots of whiskey that I'd been given early that morning, I was met again with a frosty attitude and total ignorance. By this point, I lost patience, and I told her what I thought of her sulking fits, and that I wouldn't be putting up with it, and that I don't respect freeloaders who do not appreciate having everything be paid for and expecting it to be done. I don't think they understood, to be fair, but the next day the atmosphere was cleared. I was then invited to stay a bit longer, but due to the visa run, I needed to log where I would be staying, so I had to get a hotel, which was a relief to get some independence. Cut to the night, I went to the hotel. I was on the balcony, and I felt a strange sensation of being watched. I turned off the lights, and I saw someone lurking below the balcony area back into the bushes. I thought I was being paranoid, and I dismissed this. I went out again 15 minutes later, and sure enough, I saw Mike actually walk from under the balcony and nonchalantly walking down the street. He was stalking me, and he thought that I hadn't seen him. I decided that this was the final straw, and I knew the best way to deal with this was to lay low and keep contact to a minimum. I had still wondered whether all these things were not as bad as I felt they were, until another family member contacted me and sent me screenshots of really nasty allegations about me ruining his relationship, and his fiance being frightened of me, and that I'd been arrested, and so on and so on, none of which were true. I was absolutely shaking with rage. However, for my safety, all I could do was pretend until I got back home that I was unaware. I had a nice remainder of time away, and I met some lovely people. And thankfully, I didn't see him after this until I needed my clothes to travel back in. He obviously had to do one last act of sabotage, and had conveniently lost one of my expensive sneakers. Thankfully, I had spare pumps with me. The smear campaigns lasted into the week I got home, still making up stories. But these were all laughed at as I was back home with my family. So thankfully, they also got to see the levels of manipulation, lies, and pure hateful response to not managing to set me up, entrap me, exploit me sexually, and gaslight me. If I was a few years younger, my gut would have been quickly dismissed as me being paranoid. I didn't feel comfortable about going in the first place. Needless to say, these people are completely removed from my life. This isn't the only predatory situation that I've been through, but I'll share the others for another time. I'm so glad that I've grown smarter over time. But ladies, Please be careful. People who also seem nice and close to you can act in such covertly and narcissistic ways. Trust your gut and keep your wits about you, especially when you may already be feeling vulnerable. Thanks for listening. I went to college in Florida. After graduating, the first thing on my mind was getting out of there, so I made plans to move across the country and start a new life. I was a 23-year-old female at the time with all the options in the world. Everything was in order. I quit my job and a friend of mine agreed to take over my lease. I'd been living alone in a townhouse since my previous roommate had graduated, so my friend moved into another bedroom while I was preparing to move out. About a week later, at about 10 p.m., the two of us were watching TV when there was a knock at the door. My friend got up to answer. He came back with a bag of food from a sandwich delivery place, assuming I'd ordered it. I hadn't. We thought maybe it had been delivered to the wrong address, but there was my name and address on the receipt. The phone number on the receipt, however, was unfamiliar. I called the number and someone answered, but they never spoke. I could only hear the ambient sounds of a room and breathing. I searched for the phone number and it appeared to be through an app. I convinced myself that this was some kind of prank or misunderstanding. A few nights later, another knock at the door. My friend insisted on answering again, and then I heard him telling a delivery person that this was a mistake. She doesn't live here anymore. No one ordered food to this address. The driver responded that they had taken the order themselves over the phone and spoke to a man who simply asked for the specials and ordered the first one. It was the same number on the receipt. I called again, and again I heard someone listening on the other end. The deliveries kept coming every few nights. My move was delayed for unrelated reasons, and the longer I stayed, the more it began to really scare me. Why would someone do this? One time I called the number after another delivery with my friend sitting right next to me. The stranger had picked up the phone as usual, but this time, we heard a faint voice.
She definitely still lives there.
Then abrupt silence. I didn't recognize the person speaking, but I realized that I shouldn't have been calling for my own number. I never called again. My friend tried, but the person on the other end never spoke aside from that one time. Eventually, most of the delivery stopped. But someone continued harassing us for months in various ways. That phone number began calling at all hours of the day and night, sometimes 30 calls in a row. They usually called my phone, but they called my friend sometimes as well. If we answered, they would immediately hang up and call again. I began getting random friend requests on every social media with messages such as, "Don't you remember meeting at the party last night?" when I definitely hadn't left my house in like a week. Most disturbingly, someone also had started throwing eggs at the townhouse, which suggested the stalker was local and knew where I lived. Maybe he was watching every time a delivery was dropped off. Maybe he was watching other times too. The only other thing I ever learned was that he knew that I hadn't moved. By this point, I was staying inside as much as possible, but as you know, you have to leave the house sometimes. I was terrified until I finally moved and blocked the number. My friend elected not to take over the lease, but I was always thankful he stayed with me those last couple of months. This was about 8 years ago now, and I still don't have the faintest idea who it could have been. My former coworkers and a few college friends knew I was moving, but I couldn't think of anyone who would have a reason to keep track of whether I'd moved or not, and I didn't recognize their voice the one time I'd heard it. To this day, I refuse to answer unknown phone numbers or unexpected knocks at the door. Even contactless delivery gives me anxiety. Hey everyone. So in 2020, I met this guy at a mall that I worked at. He owned one of the stores at the mall. It was a tech store to repair phones. Anyway, I would see him often because the office was close to a store. To be specific, we were right across from each other. One day he came up to me and asked me for my name. We made small talk and we exchanged numbers. We had started seeing each other, until one night I was so tired from work I didn't want to go to dinner with him anymore. I'm a single mom, and I get burned out easily. I told him that I didn't want to go anymore, and he said, "No, get ready. I already made the reservations." I said flat out no because I was exhausted, and I'm the type to refuse to be forced into doing anything, and being controlling is such a turnoff, so I was already getting ready to dump him. I told him no firmly, to which he responded back with, "I'm on my way." Then I told him, "Well, I'm not going, so waste your gas if you want to. I didn't think you would come, but of course he did." He showed up to my apartment and was nonstop honking outside. He was calling and texting me nonstop while honking. I threatened to call the cops and he didn't stop. I called the cops for a noise complaint, and as soon as he heard the sirens, he sped off. I remember waking up the next morning to like 60 text messages and 100 missed calls saying, "I can't believe you stood me up. I love you. What's wrong with you? I just wanted to spend time with you." The list goes on, but it really made me see him in a different, weird, creepy light, because how do you love me if we've only been dating for 2 months? We weren't even in a relationship at all. At least in my eyes, we weren't. Yes, we did have sex already after the first 2 weeks of seeing each other. What scared me was I remember that after we had sex, he said he was a virgin. I'm starting to believe he actually was because of how things started to escalate. After he told me he was a virgin, I didn't have sex with him again after that. So out of the 2 months, we only had sex once. He's Muslim and his parents are very strict and crazy. He would sneak out to see me all the time, even though he was 24 at the time. So after that night of him honking, I broke it off with him and I called him a psycho. I told him that I never wanted to see him again. Well, at this point, it's 2023. And ever since 2020 to now, he goes through weird mental states where in certain months he'll blow up my phone. But he'll do it once out of like 6 months, basically out of the blue, and I never respond. That is until one day in October, he sent an apology saying that he's sorry and he moved on. He knows he was acting crazy, blah blah blah. That he wanted to be on good terms with me as friends, and he asked if he could take me out to dinner to make up for what he's done. I thought he was being honest because I hadn't heard from him in months, and I told him okay, and then I went out to dinner with them. It was the biggest mistake of my life, because before we even got the food, he literally got on his knees and he begged for me to never leave him again and that he was in love with me. I have never been so scared or freaked out in my life. I ate in silence to keep my cool and stood in silence because I didn't know what he was capable of anymore and I didn't want him to snap. I told him that I didn't feel good and asked if I could go home, and he drove me home. Once I got out of the car, I was so relieved, and I promised myself that I'd never talk to him again. I never spoke to him again. Ever since October of 2022, he's been texting my phone once or twice a week, asking to go to dinner, and I never responded because he makes me so sick to my stomach. I moved. Thank God he doesn't know where I live. But recently, he's been texting me to go to dinner. The last text was December 30th. And prior was the week before that it's just been very consistent. Recently on Friday, January 6, 2023, he took a picture of me while I was working, and he sent me the picture saying it's me. It scared the hell out of me because how could he know where I worked? I just switched to a different salon and he didn't know the salon prior that I worked at. At least I didn't think he knew. I've only been at the salon for 2 or 3 weeks. It makes no sense. My heart dropped in my bottom when I saw the picture, and I replied with, "You're stalking me. Leave me alone already." He said that he has a limo service and he was driving around when no way in hell he could have seen me through the window because my station is the second station. He zoomed in to take the pic. There's a desk where he took the photo. It's so weird and creepy. I called the police and they basically blamed me and said, "How did I not know the guy that I dated? His last name or his home address?" They said since I didn't know his last name or home address that I can't file a restraining order or order of protection. I don't know what to do. I know the laws are different in every state, but I'm in Chicago, Illinois, and I really don't know what he's capable of.